everybody. Love this is Carolyn. Radio. How are you? This is Carolyn Fisher. Welcome to Sports City Chefs with Arming Champions Radio. Alan is not here because he is returning from a very big arm wrestling tournament, so I am holding down the fort today, and we're really grateful that you're here. Tonight, I am so excited to introduce someone that I met while I was invited to a swing dance evening, of all things. And if you can believe it, yes, we will do a radio show about swing dancing. Joel Pleiss is going to be my guest here in just a minute. He's probably getting everything organized, and he's going to be on in just a minute. And if I could say, he is the poster boy for all things dance and all things good. So, Joel, whenever you're on the line, you just give me a big old holler.
Big old holler.
There you are! Hello!
Oh, my goodness. I am literally just finished setting up at the library.
Did you? Are you able to chat with us for a little bit?
Absolutely. I'm good to go.
Oh, that's great. Now, you were saying that you had a big group of people dancing. Is that still going on in there, or are you setting
that
up, or what?
It's all set up. What I was going to say is at 6:30, let's take a little break and maybe get some of the listeners that are out just kind of sitting at home to get up and move their feet a little bit and jump into the lesson that's offered at the downtown library, get their footwork going, and then I'll come back and we'll keep interviewing and doing more radio stuff.
I love it. In fact, yes, I love it. In fact, I was looking at some of the YouTube videos of you, and my goodness, you are remarkable. And you not only have an amazing dance style, and you're perfect in your skill. You're just so easy on the eyes, if I may. I'm a happy married woman, but you're just so very easy on the eyes. But there was a huge group around you, and they're all clapping, and you're dancing and performing. I think it was with Dominique that time. And in the back, the camera backs up, and there's one single man standing there with his arms folded or in his pockets or something, but you managed to get the entire crowd dancing, not only watching the demonstration, but they're dancing with you. You have an amazing gift of training and teaching, and throughout this hour, I want you to share some of the things of why swing dancing, why San Diego, why Chicago, and I want to lead the audience on a journey with you because I think it's phenomenal that you've just created yourself, and I'm just excited for you being on our show. So thank you for being with us.
Oh, absolutely. Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, those are great compliments. I love what I do. I've been doing this for 17 years now. Started the summer of 1998 in Chicago. And it's taken me on an incredible journey. So it's been fantastic, to say the least.
Yeah, now when I think of Chicago and then San Diego, I looked at the dates, and 98, and then San Diego was 02. That's 98, 99, 2002. That's like almost 4 years. But you must have been literally a sponge. If you were swing dancing in 98, just started, and then you came into San Diego, and you were teaching and educating people and competing. You were doing it all in 4 years.
Yeah.
Why Chicago? And then why this? Yeah. Why Chicago? And why this big meteoric rise to swing dance fame?
Yeah. Well, truth be told, in Chicago at the time, I was working for Anderson Consulting, which is now Accenture. I was basically a business consultant for that entity, and I worked for them for 4 years. In the summer of 98, I didn't have a client and went to a swing dance class, and every day I would call in and say, do you have a client for me? And they'd say, no, just do your training books. So I'd read a little bit, do some training, and then go out and take lessons every night of the week and dance. At that time in Chicago, there was a swing dance every night, so I immersed myself in it. And then in 1999, Anderson Consulting shipped me off to Cleveland, Ohio, of all places, to work with a company called Lincoln Electric. what happened there was I met a woman by the name of Valerie Sahlstrom, who was teaching swing dancing at a local bar in downtown Cleveland. We danced together. She said, "You're pretty good. You should teach with me." We started teaching a few classes. I was basically taking what I was learning in Chicago and then regurgitating it in Cleveland. And I told her, I kept joking, "I'm going to quit my day job and we're going to open a swing dance company." She's like, "No, you're not going to do that." And eventually I just got tired of the everyday grind. I quit my business consulting job and moved to Ohio. She quit her job with the Red Cross, and we started a full-time swing dance company in Cleveland, Ohio, called Get Hep Swing, and I'm proud to say that she continues that today in Ohio.
That is the most amazing story, because it just renews our belief in doing what you love and following your path, and it just opens right up for you when you truly felt in your soul that that's what you wanted to do, and when you were true to yourself that way, it just seems to open up.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
So I spent 4 years in Cleveland, and then I met my dance partner there in Cleveland that I started teaching with a lot. We ended up getting involved romantically, getting married, and moving out to San Diego in 2002. And that's where the San Diego connection comes in. And we had the opportunity to travel the world from 2002 until 2008 or 2009. And she really wasn't into the traveling and the teaching, and our paths weren't going along the same way. So sadly, we got a divorce, and I stuck with the dancing to this day. And I think now she's a yoga instructor and went along her path. But for 8 years, a good 8 years, we traveled the planet teaching swing dance.
Wow. Now, I know that you're happily married right now, and we'll be able to speak about her in just a minute, because I want to honor her and that new place in your life. But if I can, tell me about what traveling the world, were you, like everybody wants to travel the world, but you were traveling the world doing what you love, and you were getting paid for it, I'm assuming. And like, were you with a company that just sent you out there to go dance and teach, or did you create that?
I created that. So we basically built our brand of us dancing. We did a few competitions. And luckily, I think we got into the international traveling teaching circuit before it became, the in thing to do for current dancers. Like a lot of dancers now, they aspire to win some competitions, and I want to travel and teach at all these events. And admittedly, if you get out there and compete and people see you, they want to hire you. But back in the day, I feel very proud that we were asked to teach all over the world because of our teaching more so than our competing, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. I know you've got a very effervescent personality and very magnetic, and I've had the privilege of being at one of your classes and your lessons, and you have this way of making people feel very comfortable to make mistakes. Like that's a big deal with an educator or a teacher, to make someone or to create this energy in the room where people can try something knowing that it's not really a mistake. It's a process to experience the moves, or it's a process. There's no mistake. It's like that's a necessary part of creating the dance. Is that right? Do I have that right there?
You have it. I think any true teacher, whether it be dance, math, science, anything, a true teacher is going to allow for those mistakes and that growth. And I think going back specifically to a dancer, as long as you never forget where you came from, because everybody had to take that first rock step. Everybody had to take that first step. And unless you are an incredibly gifted individual that had it perfect the very first day, we've all had to work hard to get where we are. And I remind everyone in classes all the time, the only difference between me and you right now is 17 years of dancing. Mm-hmm. So I can't put all that into you in 1 hour or a 4-week series. And I constantly remind them to just keep my favorite term, all my teachers know this, is practice, practice, practice.
Mm-hmm. I love it. And then you were inducted into the Camp Hollywood Hall of Fame and the California Swing Dance Hall of Fame. But before we go further with dancing, can you describe for our audience just really what swing dance is? Because some people have different ideas of throwing people under. They picture Grease with John Travolta. They picture hopping up and down. I mean, there's the black and whites. There's, you know, everybody's got different ideas. And then some people call it West Coast swing, East Coast. But basically, what can you describe what is swing dance in a sentence or two?
Absolutely. What I think we, or what my company specializes in, is what I would call swing era dancing. And I would classify that as any music or dance that was going on from the 1920s to the 1950s. Now, what that would include is some, you know, early 20s Charleston, solo and couples Charleston, maybe some black bottom, into some early Lindy Hop, collegiate shag, Balboa, blues, and a little bit of kind of, you know, 50s Madison line dance kind of stuff, or East Coast swing, jitterbug kind of things. After the 50s, you get into some other realms, but that would be like, so when someone says to me, I'm a swing dancer, I think they know all that stuff in my head. You know how to Charleston, you know how to jitterbug, you know how to Lindy Hop, but you know, it all depends on who you talk to. And back in the day when everyone was dancing, they just called it swing. And so they just learned from their parents, their grandparents. Everybody danced back in the day. And so they didn't have these major workshops or the classes that I know you attended with me and Jackie. And so that's the great irony in what all of us that chose to do it as a profession nowadays, like, they didn't do that back then. It was very rare. I mean, you might be a professional dancer and a showman and perform, but you didn't do the workshops. It's just a different mindset. And of course, nowadays we've got the YouTube and everything. So again, I'll clarify that for me and my company, we specialize in swing era dancing. Think about the 1920s to the 1950s. And that kind of gives you the date range, so to speak. So of course, if you're thinking about the music in the 20s, you got the dun, 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 Charleston. And then you, in your 30s, 40s, big band music, Benny Goodman, Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Chick Webb. Mm-hmm. And then you get into your kind of late 40s, 50s, R&B.
Or Bugle, you know, Boy.
Kind of, yeah, Wynonie Harris and all those guys. And, you know, it's just in the progression of all that music then went into the rock and roll, which you could do Lindy Hop or Jitterbug to rock and roll music, but it has a completely different feel.
Right.
So just like you, I could physically dance Lindy Hop steps to some salsa, Latin music, but it has a different feel. So every dance comes off of the music. The music drives your movement. So that swing era had that syncopated beat and that feel of like sending your partner out and bringing her back in. And that's what we thrive on as swing dancers. Well,
wow, I love that. So we've got a lot to cover, and for our audience, just to keep them in the know of where I'm going here, I want to talk about some different events that are going to be coming up in their area, and we've got audiences all over the world, so we can talk about that. I want to have your website ready to go. I also want to talk about, can anyone dance? The different genders that, you know, a guy standing there, he's feeling awkward. I want to put some people at ease and maybe encourage them to go. And I also want to talk about the socialization of dance and what that does, because it really renews your faith in good, clean fun. My goodness, in San Diego, we have a lot of non-smoking areas, and you just go and you have fun. Now, when you talked about the 1920s and the 50s, in between that was the Great Depression. And I think swing helped to give places for people to go to make sure that they stayed connected. They needed that in the Depression. They needed connection. So now,
Absolutely.
Did you? So we have a swing dance festival coming up. You do in Catalina in November, right? Is that open to anybody?
Yes, it will be open to everybody. We are really hoping that takes place. It's the most beautiful ballroom in the world. We are currently working on the logistics of pulling that all together. It's been a couple years since we've been there, but we would love to return. I don't know if anybody's ever seen footage of the Avalon Ballroom, the a large white building on the end of the bay in Avalon, but it's without a doubt the most pristine, gorgeous ballroom anyone could ever dance in. Now it's mostly rented out for corporate events, major events. It's sadly not used for dancing as much as it used to be back in the day, but we try to keep that history alive through the Catalina Swing Festival.
Well, I did not know that it was still in the works, and I have a lot of people on that listen to my show that have gigantic hearts, and they're very magnanimous. So if what are the one or two things that need to happen in a word before that should happen? What are your greatest needs for that?
In three words, fundraising, fundraising, fundraising.
Okay. All right, so we're going to, at the half of the hour, we're going to give your website so people can go and take a look at that. And now I hear some music in the background. Have you set up a class going on in there or what?
We've got live music tonight. If you are in the San Diego area, you've got 15 minutes to head downtown to the downtown library. We're up on the 9th floor dancing under the dome. We typically do that twice a month, and tonight we have a very special night with live music from 7 to 7:45 and 8 to 8:45. So if you missed the lesson, you can still come here and dance, and it's totally free, sponsored by the library. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's great. And I'll post that on my Facebook as well, because I think that's just going to grow. There's so much about dancing that communicates to another person. Now, I've been married 30 years. Love my husband. He does not dance. And we've done a little bit of slow trying to dance, you know, just kind of communicate that way. And he says, Carolyn, go on out on the floor, dance, have fun. And there are friendships and relationships and cool things that happen on the dance floor. But there's the odd person that'll say, nope, can't do it, can't get out there. And in the movie Ratatouille, remember the cartoon movie Ratatouille, he says, anyone can cook. So now I want to ask you, Joel, anyone can dance, true or false?
Absolutely true. I think I specialize in the two left feet clients and getting people out there. Now, I mean, everybody needs to be realistic, you know, with their skill sets. Are they going to go out there and do aerials and win a championship? I mean, maybe. It depends on how much they practice. But guaranteed, we can get people out on the floor enjoying the music, enjoying their partners. Once you figure out, let's just say kind of the rule book, if you will, of partner dancing, what I really like to teach is once you work with me, and my teachers with Swing Dancing San Diego is we teach you how to lead and follow. In other words, queue up and drop you in Chicago, you'd still be able to dance with swing dancers there, or New York, or Paris, or Sydney, Australia. Now, different communities have different styles and different likes and dislikes, but at the end of the day, it's lead, follow, dancing, and it's physics, action and reaction. And once you get that down, anybody can dance.
Anybody can dance. Okay, now I also watched the video, and I have to remind my listeners the reason why I have not shared Joel's litany of successes and competitions and all his dance company is because it would take up half of the show. You are so incredibly accomplished in all these championships, and I'm just amazed at how you've performed everywhere, all over the place. But when I was watching a video, you got the whole crowd going, and I want to say I'm kind of a very novice dancer. But when you I don't know even if you remember, but you took me from the classroom, and you went around and helped each person, and you took me out there and danced, and I felt like I was the best dancer in the room, and I give you complete credit for that. Now, there's something about that a good guy dancer can make a girl dancer feel completely comfortable. Now, what is that? What do you owe that to? Is it the confidence of the guy, the knowledge of the rule book, the ability of the woman to follow? What is it?
It's probably more the first two than the last one, because I have danced with people literally that they say, I've never done this before. And I say, don't worry, neither have I. That's how I always started to make them feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And whether or not they've seen me dancing that evening or not, I take them on the floor. And what I do is I give 100% of my energy to my partner when I social dance. And if you give your energy to the other person, they can't help but enjoy themselves and be able to get in sync with what you're trying to do. Now, if you want to, like, lead and show off and do your own thing and be, dare I say, selfish in the dance, you can do that too. But your partner is going to stand there looking at you like, okay, what are you doing? So if I focus on my partner and I give her all the energy that I can, letting her understand my connection, letting her feel my footwork, looking into her eyes so that she knows we're engaged and we're ready to dance, then we have that connection right from the get-go. And that's my job
absolutely.
As a good leader.
And that's why I tell
a good leader, it's your job to take care of the follower on the dance floor. There's something to be said about the phrase, he swept me off my feet. And I want to make every follower that I dance with feel that way.
Another
great story is the late, great Frankie Manning, who I had the pleasure of doing a few workshops with overseas in France and whatnot, and took many lessons from him. He danced up until he passed away late into his 80s, and he would always tell us, you know, when you dance with someone, she is your queen. For that 2 minutes, you have this beautiful relationship, and she is your queen. And I always think about that. Like, if you give someone that respect and you treat them like a queen, then they'll feel special. And it doesn't matter if I don't care in those dance moments if she's doing the right footwork or doing the right steps or if she followed me. As long as she has a smile on her face and she leaves the dance floor feeling much better than the moment she walked on. Because a lot of times people will get nervous if they do see me dancing. People get nervous when they dance with the better dancers. But then if the better dancers treat the beginners with great respect and don't put them down and really take care of them, then the whole dance community can grow leaps and bounds and everybody has this beautiful energy.
Yeah, I love it. Now, you've been heralded as being here, and I'm quoting from one of your admirers, energetically, they love your energetic enthusiasm and irritating glee.
Yeah, I tend to smile a lot when I'm really into the dance. So irritating glee, I like that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, irritatingly gleeful. But that's the way it is. You have just done what you love. You're living the dream, really. And dance has been that vehicle. Now, before I get to talk about your family and your wife, I want to do two things. Talk about dance as health. And what it's good for you, it's very, you know, youth invigorating. I know a beautiful woman named Emma Neal, who is was a professional dancer. And I think I know she's over her 80s now, and she is just as spry as ever. So obviously dance does something. But I also want to direct our listeners to your website. So what is your website, Joel?
It is swingdancingsandiego.com.
Okay, swingdancingsandiego.com. Okay.
And there's we've been told so many times there's so much information out there, and we're trying hard to get it down to the simplest form. But when you offer a lot and you have a lot of things that you want to do for the community, it's hard to put it all on one page.
You've got a beautiful website here that you can actually pay for some session. Like, you guys have videotaped and done some YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got a whole DVD series and all kinds of stuff available online as far as home resources go, for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Anybody
it's right
can
here.
Order
I think
that.
It's idance.net. Is that a website you want our listeners going to, idance.net?
Yeah, that's a whole other resource that's available. I have a whole lot of dance video clips on there as well. There's a lot of online resources nowadays. As I was telling you earlier, the old timers, if you will, and it's okay that I call them that. They know we call them that. I like to call them the masters sometimes. But the old timers laugh at us when we tell them about YouTube and did you buy this DVD and like they didn't have any of that. We were lucky to have some footage of some of the bars and some of the dances that they had way back in the day, and it's all grainy and old because it was with a VHS tape, and And they just, that wasn't their mindset back then. Their mindset was, we're just going to dance and have a good time. They didn't think about creating DVDs or online workshops and YouTube clips. So
yeah, no, that was their lives, and that was their livelihood. And they also used it to cope with the different things that were changing in the world and in the United States. And, generally speaking, that was their place of safety, community, connection. And, again, I want to go back to the health thing. Have you noticed that dancing is good for your health? I mean, bouncing helps the joints and the bones get stronger. The blood pressure goes down. You get in shape. What else?
I mean, the neurological synapses of the brain as you're trying to figure out moves, whether you're a leader remembering certain figures or a follower trying to follow figures, it's just the health benefits are just amazing. I mean, physical, mental, and dare I say spiritual. Like I said earlier, if you really give yourself to your partner when you dance with them, it's just a great connection, a wonderful connection. So I think it hits on all levels of the human spirit, if you will.
Yeah. Now, I know you said you were going to take a little break or something with your classes. And before we do, I clicked on Lindy Hop, and I got Whitey's Lindy Hopper's Hell's a Poppin'. I'm sure you know what that is.
Oh, yeah. That is, without a doubt, probably the greatest dance clip you'll ever see performed in the movie Hell's a Poppin'. It's just a lot of people aspire to dancing, one, that fast. Two, being able to do all those air steps in that sequence. But like I said earlier, you've got to know your skill set. Most people won't get to that level of performance or dancing on the social floor, but, man, it's fun to watch, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, it is. And right now they've got So You Think You Can Dance going on, and I love it. I love watching those kids, and they're just so energetic. They've given their heart and soul to dancing, and they're all brilliant. But I have yet to see on So You Think You Can Dance that kind of dancing.
It's been on there every once in a while. It's unfortunately hasn't stayed in the mainstream as far as the American public goes. There's many people that are trying to change that. The professionals in the communities are fighting the fight and trying to make sure swing dancing stays alive and well. And it's just a popularity thing, and it comes in waves as well. In the late 90s, I don't know if anybody remembers out there the Gap commercial, where it was Khaki's swing, and the guy was jumping over the girl's head and doing some other Charleston moves, and that was a time when Lindy Hop and swing dancing was super popular. I would say like 98, 99, late 90s. And then it's, you know, dipped down a little bit, and it's having a little bit of a resurgence, I think. And the bottom line is it's never going to go away as long as there's a few individuals that are willing to just keep the music going and get out on the floor and dance. I mean, it's great to have a swing dance community with hundreds of people at a dance. I mean, I'm looking out at the rooftop of the library. It looks like we've probably got about 70 or 80 people out here right now. But, I mean, I know of communities where there's four people in that dance community that love to dance together, and that's what they do. So that's why I say it'll never go away. There might be small pockets of it, but, you know, depending on where you live, the swing dance scene might be bigger. It might be better. It might be stronger. But everywhere, everybody can dance anywhere. And in a few minutes, I hope all of our listeners will get up and give it a try. So
yeah, I love that. So you're at the library here in San Diego, and we're live on Sports City Chefs, Arming Champions Radio. And even Alan is in Las Vegas waiting for his flight, and he just texted me saying he's listening to the show, so I'm excited about that. I doubt that you'll get him dancing in the airport, but he's listening.
That's great.
Okay, so describe what's going on. So you got everybody there, and it's twice a month, and you teach them down in the San Diego Library, and they're on the top floor. And what are you going to teach them there?
They're going to be doing a jitterbug lesson. I'm actually looking at Pete Meisner right now. He's in charge of the library, but he plays for Zimzy, and he's the one that hired me to come here on the top of the dome and teach dance. I'm on a radio show. I'm on a live radio show, national broadcast. So I got a lot going on tonight, man. I told you.
So,
yeah. So I told them we'd go live for the lesson. So do you guys mind if we do that?
Did he say it was okay?
Yeah. Do you guys mind if we go live here at the swing dance?
I don't mind. Are you asking me, Joel?
Yeah. So
I thought you were asking him. Absolutely. Go live. Yes, I want to.
Okay.
If you can crank that music in there, go for it.
All right, 1 second. I'll get everybody. So here's what I want everybody to do at home. If you're listening and sitting down, I need you to get up and get ready to dance. I'm going to start the lesson with everybody here, and then I'm going to let my Swing Dancing San Diego teachers take it away, and then I'll come back to our listeners. But everybody can learn the basic steps. So just get up and give me 1 second to put on my microphone, and we'll get going.
Great. I love it.
Okay.
I'm going to the audience going here with my – and by the way, as Joel is getting his headset on and getting the class going – we are broadcast worldwide. We have listeners all over. In fact, I know there's some people in Bali and Malaysia that listen to our radio show. And our show is the first Monday of every month. And we have just got a great lineup set up for through to the rest of the year.
Can everybody hear me?
Well, let's try that again. Can everybody hear me? I hope the crowd – now. For those of you that didn't see the Facebook post, if you don't know, I'm on a live radio show right now called Arming Champions with Carolyn Fisher. This is getting broadcast all over the nation. We are live, ladies and gentlemen, in San Diego, California.
I think it's awesome that we're literally doing a live dance teaching live radio show, and it's worldwide.
Now,
we have people all over the world.
I'm going to start the lesson, and then I'm going to let Ken and Jessica take it over while I get back to the show. But I told all the listeners that right now they need to get up out of their seats and get ready to dance. So we're going to teach them the basic jitterbug steps. So without further ado, everybody up. Could I have all the leaders behind me just spread out all the way down from wall to wall? All the followers behind Miss Jessica there. All you listeners out there in Radio Land, get up out of your seats. Now, traditionally, the leaders are the gentlemen or the men type, but if any of the ladies out there want to learn to lead, that's fine. Traditionally, for the followers, it's the ladies, but if any of the guys want to learn to follow, that's great too. So we're all going to learn the basic jitterbug step, and then Ken and Jessica are going to take it from there. We're going to start with what's called a rock step. Leaders, we go back on our left foot. And followers back on the right. Now, what you're going to do is just take that step back and front. Just take two steps. So if you're at home listening, if you could see us, you'd see us stepping back and forward. Now, while we're doing this, we're keeping our weight forward. We call this a rock step. Rock on the left, followers back on the right foot. It's two steps. That is called the rock step. Everybody give yourselves a hand. And now we add on the next two simple steps. After that rock step, leaders, you're going to kick step your left, followers. So we just do a kick step, and then now leaders, your right foot is free, and we follow it with a kick step. It's very simple. So if leaders start with the left foot, we're just going to repeat that and go kick step, kick step, kick step. Kick step. So if you're listening at home, you just kick and step, and if you could see us right now, the top of the library in San Diego is packed with dancers of all levels, as I'm noticing, and that's totally fine. Now here is the second part of our basic jitterbug, kick, step, and kick, step. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we put that all together, we're going to combine that rock step, five, six, put it all together with a rock step, kick step, kick step. Everybody at home on the radio, you go rock step, kick step, kick step. No cheating. I can see you. Get out of your chair. Rock step, kick step, kick step. Everybody say the rhythm with me. It's
Rock step, kick step, kick step. One more time, and let's stop there. Beautiful. Let's do it with music one time, and then I'll get back to the radio show, and Jessica and Ken will teach you some stuff. So I hope everybody at home is dancing along with us. Let's give this a try with the music, and then I'll get back to the show. Here we go. All right. A five, six, everybody dance. Rock step, kick, kick, rock step, kick, kick, rock step, kick. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we are live at the top of the San Diego Downtown Library. Check out the website. We're here every month. We are proud to be on Arming Champions Radio with Carolyn Fisher. Everybody give a shout-out for the radio show.
That is so cool.
Okay, Radio Land, I'm going to go back inside. Ken and Jessica are going to take over the lesson and teach these folks a little bit of move. So have fun, everybody. Night-night. I'm crazy about you. Okay, how was that?
That was the coolest, I have to tell you. That was the first ever on our radio show to do something like that. Joel, you rock. You've got the ability to. That was so cool. And I was doing the rock step and the kick step. I was doing it. It was awesome.
Very good. Yeah, I'm looking out and I ran back in the room where it's quiet. And yeah, there's probably 80, 90 people out there doing rock step, kick, kick. So I hope everybody at home, I know it's always difficult just kind of hearing it versus seeing it, but like I said earlier, anybody can dance. You just get up, you learn a couple rhythms, and you're good to go.
No, it's
cool.
A testimony
to
your, yeah, it's a testimony to your abilities, Joel, and your skills, and your energy is reaching out to the radio and worldwide. We have people in Bali and Malaysia and Italy listening to the radio show. So it we'll definitely give you a podcast, and you can put it on your website. Now, I'm looking at
beautiful.
Your website, the San Diego Swing Dance with Two-Ply Swing, and there's dates here. It says June 2015, and then it says July 6th, July 10th, July, all the way down. But where are these held? What is that list of dates and things? Where are they held?
Well, we've got classes and dances all throughout the week. The library series is on Monday evenings. Because of the Padres games this month, this will be the last one in July. But I am giving for anyone in the SoCal area, a swing dance lecture on Saturday the 25th of this month, which will be a very special educational series for anyone in San Diego. And other than that, we just have classes Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, and we do a weekly dance. I have a performance team. I mean, if you're a beginner, there's something for you to do. If you're intermediate, there's something for you to do. And if you want to be a performer and get paid to go on gigs and dance in front of people, we've got that too. Swing Dancing San Diego is your one-stop shop for anything you need for swing dancing.
Yeah. Okay, now I got it. It says here, San Diego, current schedule, Hang 10, Hoppers, the Hep Spot, Happy Feet Fitness.
Yep.
Okay, I got it.
All
right, so that's it. So you just literally go to swingdancingsandiego.com, and it's all there. Now tell me about your lovely wife, because the last time I saw her, she was expecting, and she just looked beautiful and glowing.
Oh,
so tell me what's going on with your life.
Yeah, so again, through dance, Jackie and I got together, and we've been married now for 2 years, and we just had a beautiful baby girl on May 1st. And her name is Autumn Josephine, and it's just been another beautiful addition to a wonderful life. And, of course, it's been a wild ride the last couple of months with her and trying to balance classes and schedules. But I have an amazing team of helpers here, both guys and girls helping me out with classes and making it all work. So, yeah.
I love it.
But her, you know, her being in my life now is, you know, definitely changes a whole lot. I think any father, once you have that child, your whole world kind of changes, and your focus now is through your family.
Mm-hmm.
So
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. And as many of my listeners on our faithful listeners on our radio show know, that there is a section of the radio show that I kind of stop and talk about some of the challenges in whatever sport or whatever the topic is. So I think balancing your family and what you're doing and your passion and your employ, and that is a challenge. My husband and I arm wrestling for 30 years traveling around the world, and Alan having 26 world titles and I have 6 world titles. And we, you know, there's a place where you have to go, okay, what percentage are we devoting to each other, to the family? Who does what? Who picks up the slack?
Absolutely.
So I'm sure that that's been a challenge for you. And what kind of ways do you overcome those challenges? What have you found? I mean, we've been married 30 years. You've been married, and this second time, 2 years. So, you know, I could say I'm your mother. You know, you're fresh out of the box. But what have you learned through this?
I think it's really taking the time to just, when people talk about all the time, schedule those date nights, get away from the business. And it's not always easy when you're self-employed. I'm a self-proclaimed workaholic, and I have to work on it diligently every day to take that time away and just spend that, whether it's 5 minutes or the full 24 hours of that day, to devote some time to my wife and my child and each other. And I, of course, with the baby here now, it's the same thing. I'll catch myself in total work mode and I'll just stop and say, you know what? I'm going to take 20 minutes to just go hold my baby or do some tummy time or just read to her. And that's a big change for me. It's like I said, self-proclaimed workaholic. I could get up at 5 a.m. and work till 4:30 a.m. all the way through the day and not blink an eye. But, you know, mm-hmm. getting married, especially the second time, there's definite awareness about that. It is a challenge. It's definitely mm-hmm. something I have to work hard at. Jackie is much better at that. She, for lack of a better term, definitely takes care of herself better in that mm-hmm. way than I do. I have to, like, be told to stop working, focus, and mm-hmm. and so I definitely have that flaw. I'm human, without a doubt, mm-hmm. and that's my struggle on a daily basis. But I'm really hoping that with kiddo here now and everything, and then just how wonderful it is to be around her, that it'll help balance me. So I'm looking forward to that.
Term. And you know, I really appreciate your candid way about it and your honesty, Joel. And that's going to be a blessing to your family as you invest, because that is an investment. And as we were talking about the health and what happens to our body when we're dancing, your body is releasing endorphins, which is your body's painkillers, and a certain amount of dopamine, which is kind of like we get hooked on that. And you've been hooked on swing, so to speak, for a long time. And now to shift to a different kind of reward, a different kind of blessing to you, to your soul and your spirit and your mind and all that, and to make that discipline to shift some of it, that's going to be good for you in your future and a blessing
Absolutely.
To your family, that effort.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, without a doubt. And I think whether you're self-employed or not, every father, I think, struggles with that balance of providing and working versus family time. I know my father did, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and she worked very hard to raise us. And, you know, mm-hmm. some people say, like, oh, that's not a job. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, mm-hmm. without a doubt, you know. So mm-hmm. everybody contributes to the family unit. And mm-hmm. and in similar ways, the swing dance community is a family in itself as well. And mm-hmm. and you've got to treat each other with respect. And, you know, you're always going to have your dysfunctional family members and whatnot. And you've got to learn to deal with that. And, mm-hmm. you know, the swing dance community isn't immune to everything that happens out in the regular world. And, you know, it's just my extended family. And I take it very seriously about my local San Diego community, as well as the national community and globally. I want to do this for the rest of my life. And the only way I can do that is if the health of each community is strong. I want to be married to Jackie for the rest of my life. And the only way that can happen is if we take care of each other and the health of our relationship is strong.
Beautiful words, beautiful words. Before I move in, I wanted to ask you about the future, and you've pretty much said what you wanted to do, but I want to know a little more particularly. But before I do that, And usually I ask the tough questions, and you did answer that one. The second one I wanted to ask you was about relationships in dancing, because, you know, there's a closeness that happens in there. And what of, and I'm kind of just being, being the voice of maybe some of my listeners, like, what about where there's jealousy or there's a relationship that develops that is not one of the married? Like, does that happen, and how do you deal with that?
Absolutely. There, like I said, the dance world isn't immune to the everyday challenges of life. And whether it's work-related or personal-related, when people try to dance together, especially, okay, I'm going to take it in the direction of a dance partnership versus a life partnership, if you will. There's a lot of people that will start out like, hey, I enjoy dancing with you. We should be partners. We should compete together. We should work on things together. Sometimes that relationship works out great and seamlessly, and other times it doesn't work out at all, and you butt heads. And I've done private lessons with couples where it's definitely felt like more marriage therapy or couples therapy than a dance lesson. You know, he says this about me, and she says that about me, and I'm in the middle of this going, okay, well, let's focus on the dancing. And there's all kinds of things that have been written up and discussed about, you know, dance partnerships and how to communicate well and whatnot. And what's amazing to me is, as I read all of that information, it's just an analogous to life and how you treat people in everyday life, whether you're the teacher, whether you're the student, whether you're with another person. For example, I'll go back to talking about Valerie in Cleveland, Ohio. Valerie and I think, are a perfect example of a dance partnership, of a great relationship gone sour. There was a time when I left Cleveland, there was jealousy between both of us. We did not get along at all. We didn't talk to each other. We didn't communicate. And when that happened, things weren't good between us at all. And then, you know, we just, I think, matured a little bit. It was actually when I went through my divorce with the wife that I left for San Diego with. I think it was 2009. And it hit me like, man, you know, I had a really great thing in Cleveland. I called Valerie up and I said, you know what, Valerie, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for anything that I've done in the past few years, or anything that you think I've said or I might have said in the heat of the moment. But life's too short for us to keep doing what we're doing. And from that day forward, we've been great friends. We've taught together again at events in Italy, in Montpellier, France. And when I see her, like, she's genuinely excited about my child and keeps in touch with me. And I think that's a perfect example of, we started as dance partners. We had a great relationship in dance and in life. And then it went in different directions and we didn't like each other. But then we smartened up and we're really great friends now. And I wish everyone could be like that, you know, and different people have their different paths. And you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles, so to speak. But dance is no different than life. It's no different than anything else. And at the end of the day, how you treat people, it's going to come back to you.
Yeah, I love it. Well said, Joel. In fact, I've been taking notes while I've been having this interview with you and listening, and I've written down a few things that you've said that might bless our listeners. So I'm going to share them with you. You'd see how I did, okay?
Okay.
Number one, do what you love and follow your path. Number two, a true teacher will allow for mistakes. Number three,
yep,
never forget where you came from. Number
mm-hmm.
four, don't be selfish in life, or don't be selfish in the dance or life.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, schedule times away with your family, not just your hobby or pastime.
Yeah.
Watch how you treat people, because life is too short to be bitter.
Yep.
How'd I do?
Great. Perfect. Love it. I said all that? That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Those are wise words. Now I just got to work on living up to them.
Oh, you're so sweet. You're charming. It's just been an absolute blast to have you on the radio show. Now, for the future, we were talking a little bit about it. You want to dance. You want to raise your family. Is there anything, you've got the Catalina thing that you've got there that you want to create. Is there anything else we've missed that we can let the listeners know?
We're hoping to have a not right now. We're hoping to have another child. The long-term goal is, I think we're going to wait about another year or two until Autumn's a little bit older. And then secretly, well, not so secret now since it's on radio, hoping for a boy to balance mm-hmm. out. And I'll be honest, I was hoping for a boy. I feel like I can resonate with a little boy, but I'm falling in love every day with my little girl, and I know we're going to have a great relationship. But if it's a little girl, fantastic. Two girls are great. But that's kind of, sticking around where we're at for at least 5 to 10 years, so the kiddos can, grow up in the stable, solid household, not move around too much, and then see where the path of life takes us. I mean, like I said, I would love nothing more than to get that Catalina Swing Dance Festival going super strong again, making the local dance community even bigger and better than it already is, sharing my passion of the dance, having my Hang Ten Hopper performance team, just being able to perform like every week around town. And all we do is spread joy. And that's the reason I don't want to stop what I'm doing, because when I focus on what I'm doing for the community, what I try to do with my teachers that I'm training, what I try to do for my performance team when I'm sharing dance steps with them, all we do is spread the joy of the dance. And if whatever bad day I'm having, it doesn't matter. As soon as I start teaching, it all goes away. As soon as I start dancing, and I'm not selfish and I focus on my partner, because there are times when I still go out on the dance floor and I think about all my stuff that's going on with me, and I know it's a bad dance, and I don't feel that much better. So I'm constantly reminded to give of myself, whether I'm dancing on the social floor or teaching. And when I get out of that selfishness, there's no greater feeling in the world. And that's why I want to continue it for the rest of my life.
I love it.
And raise a family at the same time.
Yes, raising a family. And what you're saying is that it's really a collaborative effort. It's less about self and self-aggrandizement. It's more of a team effort or a collaborative effort. And it really does take a village. And as you go forward, if I can offer this to you, as you're thinking about the Catalina, you've got all these people that have been blessed by you and your skills and your teaching and life, and like you said, the counseling. And I think the next piece in your life is going to be the learning, the collaborative, and inviting people to take up pieces where they feel gifted in to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Because I truly do think that's going to happen. And then the other piece I was going to say was, Joel, they say daddy's girl for a reason. Those daughters absolutely adore their daddies. So you're going to be a super dad, and you're a great husband. I can just tell the way you love her. You said, she's your queen, and in life and dance and in family. So I just wish you and everybody all the best as you go forward. And I'm really grateful that you were on our radio show. It was the first of a kind to do that.
Yeah,
to have you teaching
cool.
a group while we're on the radio.
I remember us chatting about, man, do you think you can fill an hour with a swing dancer? Well, I think we did a good job of that.
I knew we could. I just took one look at your personality and what you were doing for even me being out on the dance floor like that. It just felt so good. And I'm not a skilled dancer. I just have some fun things from my mom when she taught me, little jive things and stuff. But it was just so refreshing, and came away from there it was a great exercise and great connection with some good people. I think it's all things good. That's what I wrote at the top of this when I was looking up all the information, is dance, you are the poster boy for dance being all things healing and all things good.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
Well, thank you again for being on our show. I love it. Let me introduce for our next show. I'm just going to let everybody know, our audience, the next person that we're on our show next month is Charlie Marino. He is a high school coach, a law enforcement trainer, and does martial arts. He's a martial arts expert and teacher here in San Diego. So we'll have a karate expert. Who knows? We may have him teaching a class while we're doing an interview, since Joel did such a great job of breaking new ground here. But thanks again, Joel, and enjoy everybody at the library. Tell them I said hello and that they're on Arming Champions Radio.
Will do. Thank you very much, Carolyn.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.